Let us pray the prayer of illumination. God of glory, your word is fire in our hearts and a burning flame in our bones. May your word transform all the earth's inhabitants to the glory of your name. Bless this reading of your word through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Scriptures is taken today from John 20, verses 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy Pentecost Sunday. Oh, what a beautiful set this morning. Thanks to the praise team for that and the choir. There's nothing like the universal language of music. Amen? Amen. Today, as we do every Pentecost, we invite the Holy Spirit to speak through all of us in different ways. And those of us who feel called to share something about how God has been working in us are welcome to come forward. We have a microphone here. Laura, I wonder if you can just hold the microphone, the wireless for people. And to share what God is doing in our midst, there's a lot going on, and in some ways it seems to be an increasingly chaotic world. I don't know how many of you heard about the incident in, is it London? It's hard to keep up, and something in the Philippines too, I believe. So there's a lot to seek God's guidance and care for. Through the turbulence in the world, we gather as believers trusting that God is sovereign and the God who made this world in an orderly way in 7 days will order the world again, but this time through us, because God has entrusted God's world into our care, however crazy that sounds. So we are responsible for doing God's work here. And we're also responsible to proclaim God's word, each and every one of us. Those of us who are called to a particular kind of ministry, preaching ministry, for instance, are not the only preachers. Our primary role is to be a model and coach and encourager for others to proclaim God's word. Doesn't always have to include speech, but that's also part of how we share the message. So we invite people in our congregation now to come forward and say anything that's in your heart. We ask you to keep it to within 3 minutes or less so that we can hear from a diversity of our congregation. All right, who wants to come up first? Elder Josette Bethany. There it is.
Thank you, Laura. I know that this is a praying church, and our family right now is going through somewhat of a crisis. My sister-in-law received a bone marrow transplant at the university on Friday. She's doing very well. Her sister was a donor. It was a perfect match. Her sister's very healthy, so it couldn't be any better. Now, she's been on the prayer chain for quite a while. Thanks for Cindy for getting those on. But I feel your presence. You are a praying church. We are a praying church.
Amen.
Let's keep it up.
Amen.
I feel like this is a tradition.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Amanda Rangham. I have a question for you guys, and I was just reflecting a little bit. This is my tradition to set the bar low for Pentecost Sunday testimony, so everybody else feels comfortable speaking. So I feel like this is my way of giving to our church. But I'm curious. It's been yesterday was my son Oliver's 7th birthday, which is exciting. But 7 years ago, I was 9 months pregnant, and Steve and I were giving our marriage testimony in front of this entire congregation. I'm just curious, how many of you were here that Sunday 7 years ago with us? Okay, look around. It's not that many. But those of you who are here, what a journey, right? And those of you who have no idea who I am, it's okay. We love this church. Steve and I care very much about this congregation, and it has been just such an incredible transition for us as a couple and as a team. And I know there's so many of you who've walked through every single step of it with us, and there's a lot of you who don't even know who we are. And part of that, I talked a little bit with some of our congregation members last week, but we had a baby 2 years ago. My daughter Marion is about to turn 2. And honestly, this last year, I had a little bit of kind of delayed postpartum. I feel like I've been kind of fighting from behind all year long, but we're doing okay. But I'm just so grateful to be here with you this Sunday. And for those of you who I don't know well, we are looking forward to getting to know you better. And for those of you who I love and cherish and who've been here with us every step of the way, I just want to say thank you. Just really grateful to be here today.
Amen. Grandpa Daryl showing off.
I think most of you know what I'm going to say. It's probably a repeat of something I've said before, that it's not important whether or not you have kids or get married. What's important is that you understand that God loves you.
Amen.
I'm just reviewing, and I can't find the exact verse, but I know it's in Philippians, Ephesians, or Colossians, where Paul says, above all, I want you to know the height, depth, breadth, and width. And if you're a mathematician, you go, yeah, Paul, you're not a mathematician. But that doesn't matter. He wants you to know God loves you. Having kids is just supposed to be a picture of how much God loves you. You don't have to have kids to know God loves you. Getting married, you shouldn't get married, but it's supposed to be a picture of how much God loves you. The groom, on the night before his wedding, he's anxious for his bride. That's what God loves you like. God loves you like a parent loves a child, like a groom loves his bride. He loves you like a sibling who knows all your faults, but loves you anyway. And I'm sorry, I can't remember which one it is, but Paul is encouraging people who were discouraged that God loves you. And have you ever been pressured or crushed by life? Is that your time when you're most full of faith? Okay, if you are, you're better than me. Yeah, I'm with you, man. That's the time when I have been least full of faith. And I could list a number of times, but I won't. But I've come to realize God loves you. Understand the pictures. No matter how well or how poorly things might be going. Right? Okay, we're on our way. God loves you.
Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm Maddie.
Good morning,
Maddie.
And
I have to have notes. Some of you know about this, and others don't, so I'll tell it to you. Last fall, there was a car garage that told me I needed a $1,200 repair on my car. After just spending $800 for repairs, I decided that it was time for a different car. At Pioneer Fellowship, I was visiting with Angelina Chepserer about the car. She told me her husband knows about cars, so I visited with Joseph, and he volunteered to meet me at the used car lot. We looked at cars, and he checked them all out. There was one I was thinking about buying, but I needed a little more money, about $1,000, and they wanted $500 just for the loan. And I told them I could get a loan a lot less than that at my bank. And I left. And I prayed, "Oh Lord, I don't know which car to buy. Please show me which car I should buy. And as a sign, let it be red." Then I had a question about cars, like, and I decided to call Pastor Jim. He said, "Oh, no, don't buy from a used car lot. Go on Craigslist." I said, "But I don't have a computer." He said, "I'll find one for you." And indeed, he did. And it was red. Not finished. God worked through Pastor Jin and others to get me just the right car.
Amen. Actually, she didn't tell me her preference for the car color. It just was completely divinely ordained for her to share that story on Pentecost Sunday, red for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Too often, but I don't see anyone ready. I don't talk a lot about my family back home. By the way, for those who don't know me, my name is Lucy Mungai, and my family and I are from Kenya. A year ago at Pentecost, I may or may not have shared a testimony asking for prayers for my family, a grandniece who needed open heart surgery at only 6 months. And a sister-in-law, my twin brother's wife, who we didn't know we would have for 2 more months at that time. She had lost so much weight. David had had a chance to see her, and we didn't know she would make it. 2 months ago, I came from Kenya, and my highlights for that trip were playing with this baby. Her name is Gavoni. You wouldn't think she ever had any problem. And visiting with my sister-in-law, I had some gifts, like small dresses that never fitted her now, because she's regained so much. And there are always things to praise God for when we go back home, and some other challenges that we bring for prayers. But since you all have been part of the prayer for my family, especially with those issues. I want to thank God and thank you all for journeying with us through all those moments. Praise God.
Amen.
You can all see that I am wore my cultural dress today. So, no, I had no idea I would come up here, but I just have to because you all mean so much to me, to my husband, Mark. We're here together and so thankful for the weeks and months we've spent with you all and just to be here this morning and together with you, the singing and the praying and the sharing means so much to us. And we still have a little bit more time here with you all, but it is coming to an end. We will be moving on to another church, but we still don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And
amen.
I just had to get up here and say thank you for this time. Also, Pastor Jin for and all of you for letting us share with you. Share our lives with you. We thank God.
Amen. Thank you,
Rachel. And we have really gotten to love you. So wherever our path goes, we'll definitely keep you in our prayers and remember the welcome that we received. And just a big thank you.
And that welcome is the same for any of you who come to our communities, our Bruderhof. And yeah, all praise to God. Thank you so much. It's just the beginning. This
Amen.
Is just the beginning.
Amen. Mark and Rachel are visiting from the Bruderhof community in central Pennsylvania. We shared that before. And next Sunday will be their last Sunday, so we get to enjoy them for one more week. But we're so glad you've been here with us for the last several months. And by the way, some of us will be visiting the Bruderhof communities in Pennsylvania and upstate New York in October. I'll be making that announcement later, but that'll be a chance for us to continue our fellowship with that wonderful 100-year-old community. Anyone else? This could be our shortest Pentecost sharing ever, but no, Daniel and Kendra will not let that happen.
Good morning, church. My name is Kendra, and that was my son, Sebastian, who came up here earlier. He already has plenty to say, runs in the family. And I am just so grateful to be here. Amanda was referring to 7 years ago. As of June 1st, I have been a part of Church of All Nations for 10 years.
Amen.
Pretty much my, well, I don't know if you'd call me an adult when I showed up, but my entire adult life I have been a part of Church of All Nations. And in this last year, I went through kind of like the craziest chunk of my professional career, which isn't very long, but still it was a little crazy. And then I became a mother, and then I quit my job, and now I am just really grateful for a community that really looks at what is going on in our society and the pressures that are put on women, that are put on our families, that are put on men as far as like what it looks like to be successful, and really questioning that and making space for a different way of life. And I'm really excited and I'm so grateful for all the love and care that we have received in the first few months of Sebastian's time with us so far. And you know, in particular, I'm also just really excited about some of the energy that I've been experiencing of other women and mothers in particular coming together and finding fellowship with one another. It's can be a really challenging time, but people ask me, like, how's it going? And I'm like, it's great. I'm having so much fun. I get to take naps. This is like, I mean, he's also only 4 months old, so nap time is fantastic. So I'm just so grateful, and I'm grateful for my husband, who is in a place that he enjoys his job well enough that he's totally fine with me not working and enjoying this season. So we're excited to have less money but more time. And so in that time, please feel free to reach out to us, and I'll be trying to reach out to you and spend some time together. So that's what I'm really excited about.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm Kendra's husband, Daniel. And yeah, similarly, I think Sebastian was born on January 28th, and a few weeks into, you know, his life and being with us, I learned a new term as a clinician, paternal postnatal depression. And I was having suicidal thoughts, I was having self-harm thoughts, or even about Sebastian, especially when he was quite just inconsolable. And I'm thankful that I had that I have a partner who I can share these thoughts with, because I didn't think that I would go through it. I didn't expect to go through that, because I'm a clinician, because I've been through therapy, because I thought I was prepared. And you're never prepared for parenthood, to be honest. And there's been other things going on, triggers, emotional triggers, about my own upbringing with my dad that I didn't expect to be challenged with and facing. And so what I'm thankful for is this church and the love and the support of my wife, my family, to be able to confess into those things and then heal, because I no longer have, you know, that secret and that shame and that guilt over myself. And the other part is just, I think, you know, I work as a social worker, and I think that's my identity, whether here, at home, at work. But I think one of the things that I experience on a daily basis is just that privilege and that really ability to be fully myself. I don't feel like any of you at this church have ever questioned my decision about, you know, taking 3 months off with my wife to be a dad. I haven't experienced it at work, but I know that I've been the first person, the first guy to take that time off. And yes, we have, you know, money privilege, all these things, but just the modeling that we've received from this church to be able to say, look, you're a child of God, and that's all he expects you to be. You don't need to wrap your self-worth around money, success, career, blah, 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 blah. And for me, you know, I knew that coming into adulthood, I just wanted to be a decent dad and a decent husband, and that's my goal. And so I'm really, really thankful for this church where the risk is high, but the anxiety is low.
Amen.
So, thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Laura, and well, I don't know what to say, but I'll try to make it in 3 minutes. Before I came to Church of All Nations, I had my friend Toussaint, and I was telling him that I wanted community, and he always encouraged me to be with people, to be open. So when I came here, I said, yeah, I like community and all that, but I would never stand in front of people to talk to people. Just like, okay, how can you be in community and you don't want to show who you are, you don't want to be transparent? So this is my first testimony I'm saying in front of you. My second testimony is about Underground Institute, and if you've never taken a class, I will encourage you to. So this past month, we had five classes. Yeah, we had five classes, and we talked about American Century and how the world came to be what it is right now. And I would say that I was really upset at the end of the fifth class, and I was really angry too. due to what I learned. And also acknowledge the fact that I was wrong. Because growing up, I never really learned how to appreciate my own culture, speak my own language, because I thought it was kind of bizarre. Because back home, we speak French and English, so I'd rather speak French because, well, that's when you speak French, you're swag. So, yeah, so that's one part. And when I was thinking about taking history classes when I was in high school, I was just thinking, I was like, well, I feel like my parents wasted their money because the history that I was being taught is not what I learned in May. And it really opened my eyes, especially at work, because I'm not economist and I didn't really understand any of those terms, blah, blah, blah. Inflation, I don't know what it means. But when I was putting it into a medical perspective, I asked myself a question, do I still want to be a nurse? Because I stand in front of people every day and I hand them medications. They believe that the medication will actually heal them. And I had one of my patients tell me one day, you don't have to hand it to me anymore because I know I am dying. And I asked myself, what is the point of making medications that don't heal people but give them false hope? They believe that they will be healed, but they will never be healed. At the end of the day, they die. And the medication actually makes them sicker. So do I want to hand medication that will kill people? Or do I want to be a nurse that actually takes natural medicine to heal people? So when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay. And I spoke with Dana, and she told me something. She says, if your spirit opposes it, do not force it. And I decided to go for natural medicine. But in the meantime, I'm just going to study conventional medicine to see the differences between the two and fight for people, stand up for people, speak up for what is true. And I don't want to close my mouth anymore. And it feels good to be free, so seriously. So that's my testimony.
Amen.
Morning, church. I'm Maggie. And I have a lot of things I could talk about, and I was trying to sort through and decide, but I just have a lot of gratitude today for the elders in our church. And I just want to acknowledge the power of the presence of these older folks who have been with us, and just a steadfast kindness and faith and prayer, and how grounding that is for our congregation and how important it is. And I was thinking about Elder Chung and how he would often come up here and read a testimony, and just feeling that absence today, and wanting to share gratitude for that kind of the stories of faithfulness and of God's love for us. And to just remind us to be in prayer for Elder Chung and for Jane. Thank you all, wherever you're seated, but I know many of you are up here. We love you, and we're grateful for you.
Amen. Amen. Lily.
So my name is Lily Mogstadt, and I am a child of this church. And so I came here like 3 years ago, I think. And so I didn't really grow up here. I started like when I was in like fourth grade, fifth grade, around there. And so I came on a Palm Sunday. All the kids went up here and performed. And I'm like, what song is this? And it was really funny. And my parents saw me giving them dirty looks like, what am I doing? And I was just standing up here going like, Dad, why am I up here? And so I've been here for a little bit, and I don't have as much to say as everybody else, but what I do have to say is that this place is amazing.
Mm. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Soon Young Oh, and a couple Sundays ago I was going to do a testimony, but my father was quite ill, and I have good news. He's better.
Amen.
So that's good. Yeah. He's just turned 79, and so every time he gets really ill, it's a little nerve-wracking. Anyway, I came up here just to say, I got permission from Joe, my husband. But we haven't been here for even a year. We started like in September or October of last year, so it hasn't even been a year. But when I think about how much our family has grown because of you, it's pretty awesome, and it hasn't even been a year. So I know my new member class people, we relate to each other on that, so... But yeah, I just feel like I've started to really meet new people that I can call friends and make dinner dates with and grow grow with each other as we try to embrace this crazy world we live in. So I just want to say thank you for the cell group and for all the people and families who have reached out to us. You know, about a year ago, literally like almost a year ago, we were packing up, leaving Korea. So we were a family without a lot of support. We kind of felt aimless in both countries at that time. So it's really meant a lot to find this place and call it home. And the funny story that I got permission from Joe, and I just want to illustrate how much our family thinks about all of you. It's very funny about Claire, actually, and Austin. So last night, we were just randomly chit-chatting after our son went to sleep. And he was like, you know, when we were at their home today, I noticed that there's a whole wall with all of Claire's academic celebrations and success. And he was like, that's so strange. Like, where was Austin's stuff? And I was like, I paused. I was like, there's got to be more to his question. And then I was like, you realize we were there for her high school graduation, right? And then he had another pause. He was like, oh, that makes total sense. But he was genuinely concerned for Austin. I just want to share that that went through his mind. He thought that there was unfair treatment in the family going on. And I just, that's what I love about my husband. He's kind of, he's thinking deeply, but he kind of missed the point there. But it was just one of those awesome Joe moments. And, you know, just made me think, wow, we think about you guys all the time and care about you. So thank you.
What I got about that was that Joe was concerned for my son. Thank you, Joe.
My name is Becca Jo Bredesen, and I know most of you think I should probably be wearing American clothes, but this is actually how I went to church every day, that we had church, which was both Friday and Sunday. Because Friday was market day, so it was easier for people to be there. I grew up in a small village in northwestern Guatemala, and I began my life in that village at 2 months old. And just this year, last year in March, the people of my village received the entire Bible that was written in their language so that they could understand exactly what God was saying to them. When we first started out in that village in 1969, there were 5 Christians in the village. There was a civil war during the time we were there, and after we left, many, many, many people were killed, and we were not able to work on the Old Testament portion of the Bible. We just, in 1981, we handed them the New Testament and said, gee, we hope there's a church in 5 years. When Keith and I went down in 19 years ago, the church had built a new building, and it was double the size of the church that I went to every Friday and Sunday. This time, I got to take my girls down so that they could see where I grew up. The church is once again doubling its size. It's so big that not everyone can sit down during a service. It's so exciting to see how God has taken that New Testament gave the pastors the heart and the willingness to support one of their own to become a translator. And my dad helped with the translation. He didn't do all the translating work. That was the pastors themselves. They did the whole Old Testament. And even through floods and electrical problems and losing computers, and they finished it in 10 years' time. And so 47 years to the day we moved to Guatemala, the Old Testament was finished and the Bible went to Korea to get published. And then in September, I was so excited to be able to show my family the church that I grew up in. And it felt so much like home to go to be dressed in my traje and to go to church. But I know that this is also my home, and that no matter what I'm going through, because I'm a missionary kid and don't know where I belong, this church I belong in, because everybody kind of has that same feeling of where do I belong in this world? And I know that there are a lot of people here who are hidden immigrants who look like everybody else, but grew up somewhere where they have a problem fitting in to everywhere. So this is my home, because this is where I finally feel like I belong.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Claire, and I'm graduating on Tuesday from high school. So, yes, I'm thankful to everybody in this room and everyone who's not in this room, who I've known over the past 18 years, just for all everybody's love and support and kindness. That sometimes I forget, but I feel like I got a huge reminder yesterday. So I'm really thankful to just everybody here, and I'll be leaving for Korea next Monday, so I'll be there for the whole summer until August 26th, and then I'll be off to college. I'll still be here in Minnesota, but yes, I just want to let everybody know. And I also wanted to share, I just got back from Atlanta, and I was able to visit my harmony, my grandmother, who is turning 90 this year. And she's still, like, walking around, like, without a cane even. And she's still, like, I don't know if this is what you say it, but, like, in her right mind. And I was able to say, like, almost everything I wanted to say to her in Korean. So we had a good time talking, and I helped her use her new iPhone, even though I'm an Android user, so that was really hard. I had a really difficult time even like unlocking the phone. Yes, it's no longer swipe, you have to press the home button. But that was really great. So I'm just really thankful to God for that opportunity, that even at this old age, I was able to have meaningful conversation with her and just connect with her in that special way. So.
Well, that feels like a prompt for me to share a last word following up my daughter's testimony. I also thank the whole congregation, whether you were able to be there physically to our graduation celebration or not, for supporting our family. Claire was 2 months old when we moved to Minnesota 18 years ago, and this week is our 18th anniversary. And it's been an incredible journey. We thought we would be here 3 years max, because why would Korean people live in Minnesota, right? But I think that's a multicultural question. I've heard a lot of people from all kinds of ethnicities ask that same question. What are we doing here? Who knows the will of God, and how, when we just follow God's leading, we are where we are supposed to be. And one of the reasons why Sunbek and I and others wanted to start a multicultural church was because we wanted our children to be raised in a different kind of church. And when I think about where our daughter Claire and our son Austin is in their lives, it's a gamble that has paid off such huge dividends. A lot of struggles throughout the journey, a lot of skepticism, but that we got to raise our children completely immersed in the life, the culture, the faith, the testimony, the witness of this church is what makes them who they are. So I also want to thank this congregation for your role in co-parenting with me and Sunbek, our two children, and then all of us being in on it together in co-parenting each other's children. And by the way, all of us are children, and no matter what age we are, I think that we can say that we've all been parented in some way by the collective wisdom and love of this congregation, myself included. So I'm so very, very grateful for that. And I also thank you and love you so much, and I'm so proud of who we are and who we are always becoming. And by the way, today is June 4th, so tomorrow would be my 23rd anniversary ordained as a pastor in the PCUSA. I was in the care of the Presbytery of Greater Atlanta, my home church, Yeonhapgyoe, at that time, and I was ordained into a Korean church through the Presbytery of Newark, New Jersey. And it's a really, really, it does something to your mind to have been an ordained pastor for that long, for 23 years, seeing yourself as a shepherd, really as a parent, as a mother, father figure to the people. But I always remember that collectively, you are a parent to me as well. So thank you for your role in nurturing and caring for me, and even my sabbatical for the summer is out of your care for me. So I really appreciate your love and your concern and your prayers for me and my family as well. Let's say a prayer together. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace in our lives. Thank you for calling us out of our isolation, out of our different places, a whole bunch of misfits that you put together in one congregation to be a new kind of family. We thank you, Lord, that you do this all over the world. For to not fit in the world is really the prerequisite for belonging to your kingdom. So we thank you that we are all maladjusted and increasingly maladjusted from the conventions of our society, so that we are constantly being formed and reformed into the people of God. Thank you that we get to do this together. Thank you that we get to share our lives together in testimonies that were spoken and unspoken and yet to be spoken among all the people here. We truly give you thanks, O Lord, for the diversity of your beautiful creation, the diversity of humanity, and we pray, Lord, that we may, while celebrating our diversity, also come together in unity to offer a unified collective witness to what love looks like and what love can heal and overcome in this broken and hurting world. Come, Lord Jesus, now and always. Amen. Sisters and brothers, in gratitude to God for all of God's gifts in our lives, let us return a portion of those gifts back to God as we continue to fund our life together and life beyond this church. As our ushers come forward, I'm also going to ask Isaac and Laura to come and give a special offertory. Do you want to introduce the song? Okay.
Church. Hello. Hi, Church. So a couple of years ago, Isaac and I both started taking our Swedish heritage a little bit more seriously and looking into our own history and culture and ancestry. My great-grandparents were Swedish immigrants and came to this country in the 1860s and 80s. Yet all of the history that I do know, which isn't a lot growing up in a culture here in America that doesn't really value our history education, but what I did know was American history and some British history, because that's what we learned. So I realized that my family's history actually is here in the 1860s and 80s, but I didn't know anything beyond that. So this has kind of been an exploration that Isaac and I have been on together to learn a little bit more about who we are. Part of dismantling white supremacy is dismantling the narratives that are given to us in this country about who we are. And so around the same time, we watched this Swedish movie that this song comes from. It's a sweet little movie. It's about this choir in northern Sweden. They're kind of a ragtag group of people like ourselves. And they kind of form their own little community as a choir. And one of the women in the choir, she's in an abusive relationship. And this is a song that she sings in one of their performances. And it's also kind of her freedom song. Like, she's breaking out of this abusive relationship and being embraced by this little community in this village. And so the movie kind of became special to us. And the song, too, in some ways has some overlap with our own journey. So we wanted to share it with you.
Min längtan fått mig hit. Det saknad och det jag fått. Det ändå